You can counsel people from now to tomorrow. It won't heal their marriages. Do you know why? If they are believers, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why it is foolishness. Listen, these days I understand it better. If anybody has problems now in life, I can declare to the person boldly, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The problem we have had, like I'm talking about the dark ages, all right, is because people, these days, you know, you're even afraid to send people to church. Because when he gets there, instead of someone telling him the fact that Christ in you is the hope of glory, he said, it is the amount of seed that you sow that brings glory into your life. The guy goes from one level of poverty to another because the little he has, you take it again. And you're not developing Christ in him. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Let's continue. So Paul said, for this reason, we proclaim him, is Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. That's what we are doing here. The more I hear these things, the more I commit myself to doing it. I don't want to gather people. Paul said, I never wanted to know anything amongst you apart from Christ and him crucified. Let it be that that's the only thing I came to tell you. Are you getting my point? God forbid that I have you leave all the things you have to do on a Saturday evening. And you spend the money that we all contributed for airtime to be feeling good. Do you get what I'm saying? No. Christ is the center of all the messages that I will preach. Are you getting the point I'm making? The reason is because truly is the hope of the world. Now let's get down to the main thing that we're talking about. Believers. Last time I said something about Christ, let me just summarize this. When we use the word Christ, let me explain something. Because, you know, we're talking about faith basics. I need to explain this so we can tie this to what I'm talking about, the believer's hope of victory. Now, of course, we already introduced it. You see that the hope of victory is what Christ has done for you. Now, when we're talking about hope, I said, is the expectation that we have. Now, listen to this quickly. Let me say it like this. Everything that life can ever bring towards you, God already has a plan concerning it. You hear what I said? No matter how calamitous your own calamity, that's what is called the wisdom of God. God already has his wisdom concerning that calamity. No matter how hopeless you think your case is, you know the interesting part? If you open the scriptures, you read it, you will discover that God has already described accurately what you are going through. Believe me. Is right there in the scriptures. I said something before. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that they might not perish, all right? That they might have everlasting life, anybody who will believe. Now, what that means is this. We discussed that, I think it was last week. Everything that God planned as a blessing for people, all right? He put them together and said, who is worthy to take this thing? Are you getting my point? And Jesus was a lamb that was slain, and because he gave his life, all right, number one, he fulfilled the law of God perfectly. And then on top of that, he now gave his life for many. Therefore, he was worthy to take the book. That's why Christ in you is the hope of glory. The reason being that every good thing that God has in life, don't forget what I said last time, that when Isaac finished blessing Jacob, Esau came back and there was no blessing remaining. That is, every good thing in life, God has already given it to Jesus Christ. That is a matter of fact. Please, I want you to understand this. See, there's a problem. We have that problem in Christianity. A lot of people who preach don't know the scriptures. I don't mean that as a yap anybody. Let me explain what I'm saying. There was a man, William Myron Braham. He was an evangelist, and he used to do a lot of miracles, you know, he lay hands on people and all of that, and that was his ministry. Then one day began to teach the scriptures. And people like Gordon Lindsay called him and told him, you don't know the Bible. And it wasn't an insult. You don't know it. Why are you trying to teach it? And of course, it caused a lot of confusion. People are still following him to today's writings. They are around in the days of the voice of the seventh archangel. That's what they call his writings. All right? William Aaron Braham. All right? So what I'm wondering is that it happens that a lot of people preach, they teach the word of God and they don't know it. And it causes a lot of confusion. Now let me say something. You see the word Israel Judah, Jerusalem, my people, a lot in the Old Testament. Under what the Bible calls a prophet. All right? And people said that it is for the Jews. So if you want to be blessed, you will pray for the Jews that they might inherit their blessing. I don't have time to go over it. The summary of it is that it's not true. So Christians gather in America and say, we are Christians gathered in support of the Jews. I say, we are Christians gathered in support of Rwandans. What's the difference? I can organize Christians gathered in support of road transportation in Enugu. Christians can gather for anything. Don't think it's divine commandment for you to gather to support the Jews because you say the promises belong to them. No, it's not true. Quickly, open to the 2 Corinthians chapter. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 18. But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. This is where we are going, verse 19. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached, that's what we preach, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but yes in him. Verse 20. For as many as may be the promises of God, in him, only in him, please, they are yes. Wherefore also by him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Please notice something. It said, as many as may be the promises of God, in him they are what? They are confirmed. And we tap into that confirmation by saying our own amen. That this is how it affects our lives. We discover the promises as we are in Christ Jesus and we say amen to them and they become our own. Did you hear what I said? You know what he said? As many as may be the promises of God. So if you flip over in your Bible from Genesis down to Malachi, if there are promises of blessings in there, the Bible says they are only yes in Christ Jesus. You know what it means? That's what I was explaining to you. That God has packaged everything and given it to one person. Any Esau that comes after this Jacob gets nothing. People tell me that, God is going to redeem the Jews, whether they believe or not. I said, that is contrary to divine character. God is not the rogue. You understand my point? Just do things anyhow, lawlessly. No, that's not how he does things. What you are telling me is that the promises of God can be confirmed outside Christ Jesus. I told you one day I was talking with a man who's supposed to be a pastor, and I was shocked. But good enough, I did not know his position when I was talking with him. Because he made a statement, I told him, don't ever say that thing again. If I knew what big a man he was, I would not have told him like that. I would have been afraid to talk to him. But because I did not know, I said, my friend, don't say that thing again. It was after he left, I said, look at who you were talking to. I said, praise God, at least I did not know. So I could tell him. Why? He said, any Jew that obeys the laws of Moses will be saved also. I told him, don't ever say that thing again. Why am I saying it? Because the promises of God are only confirmed in Christ Jesus. The promises of God, all of them have been given to Christ Jesus. That's what I mean. They belong to him right now. So when you are reading in your Bible, that's what I was trying to explain. They tell you that, rejoice, O Jerusalem, because no longer will you suffer. That's a promise. Are you getting my point? You know what God is saying? Rejoice, O Christ Jesus. No longer will you suffer. That's only confirmed in Christ Jesus. He's the only person that can open the book and take that promise. I now said, if we enter into him, that's why Paul said, if that Christ is now in you, he comes into you with all the promises of God. And anyone you say amen to, that's yours. I don't know whether you heard me. That is why, I like one man I was listening to, RB Theme. He said, the first assignment of the believer is to know the promises of God. I'm adding my own words to it now. Because without knowing them, you can't say your amen. That's why my people continue to perish for lack of knowing the promises of God. Believers' hope of victory. Listen, I said something, that there is nothing you are going through in life that the word of God has not described. Nothing. you could have had one setback, one failure after another. Nothing. You could have had one death after another in the family. Nothing. You could have had one confusion after another. Nothing. There is nothing that you are going through that the word of God has not described. This is the interesting part. God calls them the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. I hope you are getting my point. That is, anytime you read, that's how you, that, you need a Bible. You need a complete Bible. Not the New Testament. There's something that Christians say. Like I tell you, a lot of people preach, they make some mistakes, all right? They say that, I don't want to know what God said to the Israelites. I want to know what he's saying to me. The word of God to the Christian is in the letters of Paul, Peter, from what we call New Testament. But it's not true. I learned that one many years ago. That is not true. Quickly, open up Romans chapter 1. Let's get this clear. You need a complete Bible. Because God has promises. No matter, look, we don't have time to go into all of them. Explain. I explained in previous times. He said to the Jews were committed the oracles of God. God gave them to keep. Did you hear what I said? What did he do? He gave them to keep. That's why you hear the name Jerusalem, Judah all the time. My people Israel, 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 Jerusalem, Judah. He gave them to keep. Paul said to them was committed the oracles of God. All the prophets were Jews. But you know what he said? Romans chapter 1. Paul, a born servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the holy scriptures concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David, according to the flesh. Notice that. The promises were recorded by whom? The prophets. What Paul was calling the holy scriptures ended in Malachi. New Testament was not composed that time. Are you getting my point? I'm not explaining something. You need a complete Bible. The first day I heard somebody preach this thing to me, after that I picked the book of Isaiah. I began to read. You know, Jonathan, last Sunday, you wanted to borrow a Bible from my car. And I said, don't touch that Bible. It's too holy. Can you remember? What I meant is this. If you go and check it, it's, I think it's in my car at home. The Bible is torn. The back is off. The pages are frayed. That was the Bible I began to read after I understood this revelation. So you see my book of Isaiah and Jeremiah, they are colored. You heard me quote it several times. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. It's Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12. That's when I discovered it. Go ahead, Isaiah chapter 49. I came to understand that no matter how I look, and one day that scripture came to me very powerfully. Let me quickly read that one to you. Isaiah chapter 45. That's how that day, Jonathan, when he said, ah, can anybody say, ah, I said, no, that Bible is too holy. You can't carry it away. You know, just I abandoned it myself for a long time. Then one day I picked it up again. And all the colors are impacted into this Bible around 1997. I said, no, these colors are still fresh. So I began to read it again. Isaiah chapter 49, sorry. That's why Isaiah chapter 49 is so special to me. One day I was sitting down, I was having issues. And this word jumped to me. He said, listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. Now this is a situation. I was in this situation. I'm still in that situation. What I mean, I'm in different phases of this scripture. Are you getting my point? He said, the Lord called me from the womb, and from the body of my mother he named me. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he has concealed me, and he has also made me a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant Israel. I told you, when you hear the name Israel, it's given only to Christ Jesus. The promises of God, Jesus has collected every one of them. And it's now for anybody who is in him who will say amen. So when I read this, I said amen. Do you understand my point? He said, you are my servant Israel. You are my servant Banky, in whom I will show my glory. But I said, I have toiled in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. He said, yes, surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. And now says the Lord who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, in order that Israel might be gathered to him. In fact, he describes me so perfectly. He said, because I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. What did God say to me? He says, too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up only the tribes of Jacob. That's what he was saying. And to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Let me just stop here because of time. But you see what he's saying? Let me just read verse 7 also. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and its Holy One, to the despised one, to the one abhorred by the nations, to the servant of rulers, kings shall seal and arise, princes shall also bow down, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. Now, let me just tell you what this describes. There was a time that I was frustrated. You know, have you ever settled down? It looks like everybody is making progress but you. Look, everybody goes through that stage at one time in life or another. Everybody makes plans, it succeeds. Your own, it fails. Let me tell you something. You know, I keep on preaching what I'm preaching. I'm begging you in Jesus' name, please believe me. It is not a witch. What did I say? They are not big enough to attack you as a child of God. Let me put it like this. If you have any problem, if it's a problem, then Christlessness is your problem. That is, to the degree that Christ is not formed in you, that's the degree to which you are having problems. Not because of witches. Hear me. You do not need any deliverance from any Obanji spirit. If you have believed in Christ Jesus, you don't have spirit husband, spirit wife, spirit children. It's only for those who are confused and deceived, or those who have not yet believed in Christ Jesus. The fact that you have one problem after another is not proof that the devil has power in your life. The only thing he can prove to me, if indeed it's a problem, is that you are not following the Christ nature that's inside you. And God is using that to call attention to that fact. Listen, let me give you an example. If you're a Christian businessman, check, do you pay your staff? Do you pay staff before you buy a car? Or you buy a car before you pay staff? There was one TV station those days in Lagos. They were having problems. They were owing staff for months. Do you understand? Then finally, one day they got a bank loan, and the first thing they did was to buy cars. Cars. You know why? They said it is image. You first build up the image so that customers and clients will show up. They were owing staff for like 5-6 months. They couldn't spare the cost of one car just to settle the staff. Now, you guys can wait. When we have built the image and we have money, we'll pay you. I said, no, of course, they are not there today. They are not there. They are not there. They have disappeared. It's the usual thing. People like that always disappear. I worked somewhere one day. At the time, we were owing staff for like 2-3 months. When Lagos was hard, I walked to the boss. I walked to the accountant. I said, tell the boss. What me and the other colleague of mine, we earn quite a bit of money compared to the other people. So don't pay us. We'll find a way to survive till we have money. But please, all these people are paying 900 naira, 600 naira, 1,000 naira. Why don't you just walk across with one of these banks that's our client and tell them to just give you small money. Settle them so their morale will be boosted. They can continue working. The MD happens to be a Christian who had learned some half doctrine. He said, I will never borrow. I'm a child of God, I'm the head, I don't borrow. I said, look at you, you are owing people, you are saying you don't borrow, you have borrowed already. Look at why you treat it. Just because you don't want to sign paper in the bank, you have borrowed already. I'm telling you to just shift the debt from the poor people to the rich people. And I volunteered, I said, don't pay me. I mean, how nice can a man be? I said, I'm not asking to be paid. My own salary is big compared. No, jokes apart, no, I'm not exaggerating. I alone was earning salary of 10 of the other people. So I said, leave my salary out. Leave my colleague's salary out. Who was any more than me? Because she worked more, she was any more than I was any. I said, leave the two of us out for a while. We'll wait. But this way that you are paying 10 kobo. Why don't you just find some more money and pay them? I'm bringing an issue. There are certain things that can cause problems in the life of believers. One of them is not with you. That's what I'm trying to explain. It's things like that that God wants to correct you about. It's not witches. And I'm going to meet a man who's more confused than you. And he knows that when people are broke, they give more offering. I hope you know that. Yes, because they are trying to come out of their poverty. There was one movie I watched by this guy. Forgotten his name for a moment now. He's an American actor. In it, he was a lawyer at the point that he started having serious problems. And one of his partners was sitting at home one day. In fact, he told them in the office, said, can you believe that yesterday I sent $200 to a televangelist? Because he was at home. And one guy was on TV saying, the reason why you ain't getting is because you ain't giving. And then he quickly took money and wired money to the evangelist on television because they're having serious crisis in the office. This is a man who never gave the gospel one dime. When we're in trouble, they give. It's called plundering widows' houses. It's one of the problems God has with the priests in Israel and prophets. They plunder the houses of widows. People are in distress, you start squeezing them dry. Now, what am I going to explain here? Believers don't have problems with the devil. There's no problem you have with the devil that you did not open the door for one way or the other. Therefore, you cannot just get a pastor to just drive him away when you have not closed the door. Witches are not powerful enough to make the life of one of the smallest Christian miserable unless the person is not in Christ Jesus. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Because we do have issues in life. We do. And there was a time I was thoroughly discouraged because it was as if I was not around. One good wave of good came into my office and I was absent. And when I came and I was told about it, and this was a man of faith, I believed at this. I believed every good thing. And then good came. It did not hit me. He took all the unbelieving people, including the Muslims, the Hare Krishna followers. That day as I entered the office, I fell into my chair out of dejection. Then I began to pray. I said, God, what's going on? Then I was reminded of this scripture. I used to have that in my spiritual Bible, like I was telling you about, around me. So I reached for it and opened to Isaiah chapter 49. And the word of the Lord came to me strongly saying, because Isaiah was helping me to complain that this is a problem in my life. He said, I have toiled in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and for vanity. And that is, I was discouraged. What happened was that God actually had made me a select arrow. Look at verse 2. He said, but in the shadow of his hand he concealed me. He also has made a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. While I was hidden in his quiver, I began to complain. I said, I am not achieving anything. Everybody is making progress but me. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? But God said in effect to me, it is the season in which I have kept you in my quiver. I am not yet ready to shoot you out as an arrow. But thus says the Lord, it is too small a thing, verse 6, all right, that you should be my servant. That you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. That is the vision you have right now, in which you are not making any progress, for which you are complaining, is too small compared to what I really want to do in your life. Are you getting the point? He said, I will also make you a light to the nations. Listen to this. That my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Let me tell you something. The major problem believers have is that they give up on God. God gives them dreams and visions. They forsook everything. When everybody was keen for lucrative jobs and everything, or they had one, they dropped it to go and pursue their dream and vision. And for the first 2 years, things were rough. Then they say to themselves, Peter, John, I think we should go back to fishing. Then they dust their CV again and start phoning their friends. Oh boy, I still deal. And what about that company now, boys? You know, in the last 2 months, NEPA hardly worked. What did man go do? What about that business now? Importation is hard right now. I'm going back to fishing. Are you getting my point? Listen, that period in which the man is hidden in the quiver, look, every life has seasons. Oh, you know, we must understand this. There is an assignment for each season. The period in which I was not going around preaching, let me tell you, now, I may not be a celebrated preacher. I'm not a celebrated preacher. Hey, this man's come to town. Convoy, come and welcome me at the airport. I don't need it, all right? But the fact is that right now, I'm very busy preaching. No, really. I preach on the average 3 times a week. Most people who call themselves full-time preachers don't do as much as that. There was a time that the only way I could preach was to preach to myself. And you know the annoying part about my God in heaven? He used to do something that was very annoying. He won't even reduce the fire in your bones. That's what I mean. The zeal with which I preach now, I had it for a long time, except that you were not there to sit down and help me release it. So I would take a stroll at night and look at the birds of the air. Today I want to teach all of you about the glory of God. The songs you are singing up there, it is the glory of God. Do you know how your food comes? Because even though you do not gather into bands, you do not toil, you do not spin, but Heavenly Father has given you food. I preach to the birds and I get tired, I go back home. As God is my witness, there are times I turn to the wall and begin to preach to the wall. There's a revelation today concerning the person of Christ Jesus, the supremacy of his person. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. After I speak to the wall for 10 minutes, I get tired. I go and sleep. Then one day, I met one fine girl. Then she became my congregation. How now, Foma? I'm fine. Have I preached to you about the ratification of covenant? He said, no, and I don't want to hear. That is the wife I married now. I preached to her so much she was tired. Waiting. Now since a person agreed to marry you. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Hey, it's not my fault. It was when I was hidden in the quiver. So I finally found somebody. I told you before, the book, Choices Key to Destiny, it was written out of idleness. I had nothing to do. Nowhere to preach. But the fire was burning. So I took paper and preached a whole message. 23 pages. I was just writing. Now I'm finished. Go to the next page. When I finished, I saw somebody going to be. Give it to that young woman that I'm pursuing there. It was like a letter. Just said nothing. She even gave to other people to read. Then when I married her, she brought it back into my house. Many years later, it was published as a book. You know what? It's the most popular book that we have. Alanka, okay, I mean, I stepped out. People buy them in 50s. Because this is what every young person should have, they think. And they keep buying them and giving out to young people. I was hidden in a quiver. Are you getting my point? Yes, that season. There was a job for the season. Oh, but honestly, that was when I read and read. I was telling, were you there then, or who I was discussing with? I said one day I went to church. I just encountered the ministry. So one day, first day I went to church, I have that message I've shared with a lot of you, inheritance inside the new man. He preached and preached for 2.5 hours. I wanted to die. Ha! See word, heavy, consolidated, powerful, explosive, atomic word. Oh! Of course, I booked the tape, sharp. Took it home, listened to it. The following Sunday, he preached, I booked the tape. The following Sunday, he preached, I booked. Then one day I went to church to book the tape. They said the tape machine, the tape recorder did not work. Took it. Are you serious about that? That was the name of the lady in charge of tapes. I came the following service. They said the tape recorder did not work. I came the next service. They said the tape recorder had not yet been fixed. Next service, I brought the tape recorder to church. I said, what's wrong with all of you? When I was going, I had a friend, a Muslim, Taufik. I said, Taufik, I beg. This young, I had one small, portable, sharp music set, which was recording very well. I said, Taufik, I beg. I won't carry and go to church. A Muslim. He gave it to me. If I took it, I was saying that, do I want to dash them? I said, honestly, took it, I would have dashed you, except that it's not my own. I borrow it each day to bring it to church. They will record. So this is the point I'm making. Those 3 or 4 days, they did not record. The message was lost, Abby. Mistake. I went home and sat down. I said, that message, now let's re-preach it. If you want, I will show it today. More than 20 pages. I recollected the message and wrote everything down. I still have it. 20 pages. How can you lose it? For what? I'm telling you, if you want, in fact, I will bring it, if I remember, on Tuesday. I will show you the book. I still have it. There were two Sunday services that this people did not record. I said, okay, I will show you people. I went back home, sat down. What did he say? All right. Once I began, in fact, anointing came, come and see the handwriting. Very angelic. That was the season I was reading the quiver. A lot of things I teach you today, that was when I learned it. Look, listen. Forget all this one that one day a brother came, one of our brothers, but he's not here now, he's gone for youth service. Well, he finished youth service, but he's still back there in the north where he served, working very hard. He came one day, he said he wanted to see me. I said, see me about what? He said, he's not experiencing the blessing. I said, let me hear about it. He told a long story about the troubles of his life. When he finished, I said, is that the problem? You think there's a problem somewhere? We need to pray to break the curse and all of that. When he finished, I said, so is that all? I sat down. He was sitting down. I now started. I said, wait. I now started giving you all my own troubles. You think you have a holler? In this town, the first time my wife was pregnant, the baby died at 34 weeks of pregnancy. You think you have troubles? Look at you. You have a holler. I have four children now, handsome and beautiful children. It was because I refused to be discouraged. I said, 11 months after that pregnancy ended, Akinlu was born. That's why the boy always looked 10 years old. Because the spirit that he carries was not the one that is not of the boy that was born the day he was born. He was born years before that. It was just his flesh that was delivered later. Yes? I had been prophesying long before that. I said, you have troubles. Okay, sit down. When I finished, I said, my friend, your problem is that you are spoiled. I told him like that too. I said, that's wrong with people like you. You are spoiled. Small disturbance like this. He said, who is he chasing you? Get away from here before I give you a knock on the head. He said, thank you very much, sir. I think that I needed to hear this. I said, you had better hear it and get up and go and face life seriously. You have small disturbance in life. You're telling me that you think they will, you know, people, they got a man who can't do simple accounting in his business, say which is disturbing him. You are turning over 10 million naira per annum. And in 2010, you don't have a computer. You say, which is disturbing you? Your business is already turning over 1 million naira a month. You don't have an accountant. You say, which is disturbing you? You are stingy. You can't help people. You see customers as people to be milked. You say, which is disturbing you? I told you it is lack of Christ life being formed in you that is disturbing you. No witch can disturb the child of God. None! The witch that wants to die early. You know, this is an easy way for witches to commit suicide. Shall I tell you? Just come and jump bank his fence. If you're a witch, you are tired of life. Just try and attack me. This interesting part, I won't know. There are many obituaries that were created because of you. You don't know. You buy newspaper. Oh, this man has died. You don't know it's because of you he died. And you'll be mourning, say, poor man. And he was a nice guy. You won't know that God killed him because of you. That's how witches die, because of me. In this life, I will go for funeral of many witches and I won't even know I'm the one that killed them. One man called Pelatia was a bad man. He was in Israel. Jeremiah got up and began to prophesy and the man collapsed and died. Jeremiah himself ran. Jeremiah disappeared. I said, God, what are you trying to do? You want to kill everybody in Israel? Jeremiah didn't mention his name. He just said, thus says the Lord, I shall build you. As he was talking, you hear Boza. One man, you're cool. Hey, listen to me. If you're having problems or challenges in life, forget it. It's not because of any witch. That's what I'm going to explain. I read this scripture, and it was an encouragement to my soul. And God said, Banky, don't worry. Whatever it is you are dreaming of right now is too small compared to what I want to do. It is just that this is the season in which I'm hiding you in my quiver. Don't worry. I took encouragement. I shook my head and I knew that indeed, prosperity is my portion. Advancement is my portion. Success is my portion. Victory is my portion. Why? Because God has promised it. And in Christ Jesus, I have said, Amen. Let me tell you, the only job the devil has is to discourage you. NEPA, take light, take light. It was designed to discourage you. Are you getting my point? All the bad roads, they are designed. Let me tell you, this life, we are not all the same in this life. You must understand it. We are not all the same. God can put trouble in the neighborhood, and allow trouble in the neighborhood as temptation to see whether you'll be discouraged. And there are 10,000 people living there. That is why I said before, if you see calamity, pray. Don't behave as if we are plenty. We are not plenty. No, if you're around on Tuesday, we face the case of Ebonyi State and Plateau State. Don't think that there are people in Ebonyi who break. Because they are, you are not sure. Banky, you don't think you are sure. All the calamities surrounding Enugu. I'm waiting for people like you to do something. You are not an average person at all. If you're a child of God, I told you before, Job, he had servants. The servants had wives and children. Yet when the servants died, what did they say? They said Job was being tempted. Ah, you kill a whole a family man because you want to tempt somebody else. What does that tell you? They're not. God doesn't see them as equal people. So please, the trials of life. So if roads spoil, yes, God has said something about the roads that spoil in the place that you pass. Is there. Sometimes your job to start prophesying upon the road. Thus says the Lord, I shall bring down the hills and elevate the valleys, and I shall make a plain road so that my glory might be revealed. They say, are you the only one that travels on the Chato Enugu? Say, sit down there. I'm the only one that's important. Listen, look, I'm telling you. Look, one day, Kingsley told me that he began to prophesy also. Then one day he came home and saw that the road to his village was being done. He said, yes, prophecy is working. You may say, you're not the only one from that place. It doesn't matter. God will tar road for one person's sake. I know what I'm saying. In fact, the reason why God scatters people everywhere is so that he can bless those people in their scattered way, so that the blessings can affect a lot of people that don't have faith. That's why I tell you, spiritual drain is worse than brain drain. This Nigeria is condemned to prosperity. Do you understand my I preached a message many years ago on radio. I called it the sentence of life. You know, there's a sentence of death. And I called my own the sentence of life. This is the judgment and the condemnation in quotes we have placed upon Nigeria. Prosperity. Yes. Listen, go and tell all your uncles who don't want Nigeria to prosper that they will soon die. You say, why? Say, Banky is prophesying. I hope you are getting my point. What am I emphasizing? You are not an average person. No? Witches are not your problem at all. If there are temptations or trials in life, don't think they are general. Pick your Bible and begin to read. You need a Bible and you need a colored pencil. Because as you read, you know, that's why you can never finish reading. This is when I see the name Christ. It makes a new meaning to me. Why? Because I'm talking about the fact that he has inherited all the promises. So anytime I see the name Christ and the promises of God, it starts connecting. Are you getting my point? Now, I will leave his phase in life. I go into another phase. Maybe I'm raising children. Like I have children now, they are growing. In a few years, I'll have teenagers. Alright? There are scriptures that describe the promise of God concerning my children. So when I start reading, I get another colored pen. You start coloring. Because suddenly those scriptures become obvious to you. You understand? They start speaking to you. A man is starting business, there are scriptures that describe trials in the beginning of a business. When you are reading it, they start talking to you. Listen, once you see a promise, you say, Jesus has collected this one too. And since I'm in Christ Jesus, I shout my own what? Amen. It's mine. That's what I mean by believer's hope of victory. We'll talk about it again further next time. There's nothing you are going through in life that God has not spoken a word about. And if you will say amen to the word that God has spoken concerning your situation, then the glory of God will be manifested. We'll talk about that further next time. Let us pray.